Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Archetypes with your host, renowned intuitive and author, Roy Solberg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to talk archetypes with Ellen Nicholas Rathbone today. Great guest that I have lined up. She's also one of our radio hosts, so be sure and tune in to her show. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about the connection to our higher power, and this goes through the God-Goddess archetype. This is that part of us that recognizes that within each of us, we have this God energy, and how we connect to it sometimes is a challenge, sometimes it takes skill, sometimes it's just there, and you recognize it from the time that you can walk and talk, you know it. But for those of us or those of you who are, you know, a little bit confused or a little bit unclear, we're going to talk about this today. And Ellen is going to tell us about how connecting to the spirit guides and angels, how she started, and just about the miracles and serendipity that she's experienced along the way. So without further ado, let me give you the number to call in. It is 1-877-296-0345. Get so excited about the guest, I forget to invite you to join us. So if you have questions or you want to add comments to the show, please call in. And always at the end of the show, if there is time, I will do an archetypal reading. So without further ado, Ellen, would you like to join us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, yay. All right.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Roy. It's absolutely my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. So let's talk about how you got into your connection to your angels.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like to say that I have had I would say that although there have been many trials when I was growing up in Newark, you know, a lot of altercations and there was tensions and all, I always felt that I was protected. It's kind of weird because, I mean, I was willing to walk to my best friend's home, which was two blocks away, in the middle of the Newark riots because I felt so sure that I would be okay. Don't ask me why. I didn't have a name for it at that time. And I've always felt like there's been a presence around me. But, you know, when you're a young child, people tell you stuff, and you're not really sure who to believe. And, you know,
exactly.
Unless you have it's written in a book, you don't tend to give it a lot of credence. Then when I was about 26 or so, I was in a very bad financial place, and I went with a friend of mine who was going to a lecture about there are angels among us. And I thought, that sounds very interesting. So I went with her, and she gave some wonderful examples of how angels are with us all the time, and they are there for two purposes, wisdom and protection. And if you allowed your angels or called upon your angels for help, especially in dire situations, but it doesn't necessarily have to be dire. It's just kind of nice to know that the energy is there. But if you do call upon your angels, they are there to serve you. That's their existence, to serve you. And like I said, wisdom and protection. Now, of course, some people ask the question and then ignore the answer, even though it's, seriously,
yes, that's
they do
common.
It all the time. Yes,
it's a common thing, yes.
Right, because people don't realize that voice, inspiration, communication, understanding comes to you in other ways other than your logical mind. And if you are only using your logical mind to make your way through the planet and to make good decisions for your soul's journey, then you are always at a disadvantage because your logical mind is seriously finite. finite in its understanding, finite in its approach. It is finite. But when you open yourself up to the divine forces in your life that are helping you to create the life that you want, if you just believe that they're there and trust that they're there, it takes a lot of faith to have to do that. But if you do that, then life becomes pretty effortless, and things are handed to you. If you are wise enough to see them, you take them as the gift that they are. If you can't believe your luck and throw it away as if it's some kind of stupid coincidence, then that's exactly what it is, too. Who said, if you think you're right, you are, and if you think you're wrong, you're also right? You know, you're right,
you're right either way.
You think you can or you can't, you think you can't, you're right.
You're right.
So,
you make yourself right.
That's what gifts are. So, Ellen, I want to
back up just a minute. So when you went to this, there are angels among us, and you realized you had a name for it, I'm guessing. Now you know that they are with you for protection and for guidance.
And wisdom.
Wisdom. So walk us through what you did to make that connection so that our listeners will have an idea of, do you hear your angels? Do you see them? Do you feel them? And how did you learn? It sounds like you've always had a level of trust. How did you learn to really, really trust them?
Okay. I'm the kind of person that has always lived my life on the edge. Most people would not go through the adventures or do the things or meet people. I meet everybody, old, poor, black, white, ghetto, and millionaire. I've met everybody in between because I'm a people person. But a lot of people tend to shy away from people they're not familiar with. So when you're a people person, you have to have a sense about you that this is something that you are okay. You're protected in this. You are safe in this. And it can't be a logical thing. It's a sense thing. And when your sense tells you to move away from someone, you don't hold yourself there for any other kind of protocol. You do exactly what your body is telling you to do. And when you've been through enough experiences where when your body warned you or when your senses warned you or told you, that is your angels speaking to you for wisdom and protection. And, you know, it's a physical kind of a thing. I mean, I have never actually seen angels, you know, floating in front of me, but I am as sure of their existence because of the guidance that I have gotten and all the questions that I've ever asked that have been answered and all the gifts that I asked for that have been given it would be ludicrous and a little insane of me not to believe in angels.
Exactly.
It would be the height of egotism to think that all my gifts have come because of solely my effort to make them happen. It's not my effort that got my book published. I published it myself. And then I went looking for a distributor, and I handed it to a woman who I thought was a distributor, and come to find out she was a publisher, and she liked the book that I produced, and they came out of retirement to publish my book, and after they published my book, they went back into retirement. How did that happen? You see, that is angels at work. That is not me making it happen, me, the nobody, going there and making that happen. No, that was a divine intervention. And you have to have a question, and then you have to ask the question, and then you have to be still and not let your ego get in the way of what you think the answer should be.
Do you ever, when you first started out, did you ever feel confused about the answers that you got?
Never.
Good.
Never. People will lie to you. Situations will lie to you. You know, they will present something else other than what, you know, like you can look at a house and say, what a beautiful home. My goodness, everything is the nicest of everything. But yet, it doesn't matter what it looks like. What is going on in there is not something that's necessarily visible or sense. You cannot necessarily sense it through your five senses. But that doesn't mean
right.
it's a pretty picture. There could be abuse going on there. There could be people buried under the house. What do you know? So the only thing that you can trust is your sense, is your own sixth sense, because your sixth sense, your intuition, is your divine connection. It's your, it's what raises you, what uplifts you from Homo sapien to Homo spiritus. Okay.
Oh, I love
if
that.
You,
yeah.
If you have, we all know we have five senses. It's
right.
been documented with the doctors and scientists of that sort. So that then, of course, we give it all credence. But intuition is part of being human. It's one of the many wonderful gifts, along with all their erogenous zones. But that's another show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
right.
it is something
we'll talk
that,
about that later.
It is something that we have as a mechanism for coping with the world and dealing with the world around us. And, you know, I don't want to get too existential on you, but we now know that everything is vibration.
Yeah.
Everything.
And energy.
Okay?
Right.
And, yeah. And if you look at the vibration, it's really just, you know, empty space between, you know, it's just not a lot. So we want to believe that the physical world is actually happening around us because that's what our mind has taught us is what's going on. But in the space of time and event, we are just energy, and we're in a huge magnetic, we're part of a huge magnetic field, which is the divine, which is the creator, which is whatever you want to call it. You know, it's
whatever
energy, it's
it.
Light, it's nature. It's whatever you want to call it. People call it God. They call it Allah. They call it energy. They mm-hmm. call it nature. They call it whatever they call it. But if you have your intuition working, then you can tap into the divine energy. And God is with all of us through our angels. So, you know.
Exactly.
They get
so one
you.
Of one of the things that the clients I work with, we go back to the basics. How do you get this information? Do you see it, hear it, or feel it?
Okay.
And then we go into the trusting aspect. And for the people who are coming to me in their beginning stages, in their beginning frequency,
yeah.
That trust issue is the one that catches them the most. They hear it,
yes.
and like you say, they discard it. And
right.
then they ask again, and they get another answer, and they can't quite tell the difference between mind chatter and their angels talking to them.
Right. Okay. So, you know, the only way around that,
mm-hmm.
the only way, right?
Yes.
Meditation.
Right.
Because meditation helps to stop the chatter. It
mm-hmm.
helps you to face the emptiness. It helps you to listen to the God force around you, because if you're really, really quiet, you can hear the electromagnetic energy that is around us.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you to recognize the light inside of you. Even when your eyes are closed, you'll see a light inside of you. And if you're really paying attention, it changes colors. It
yeah.
changes to light, it changes to green, it changes to yellow, it changes to all your chakra colors
yeah.
because that's what you are. You're light. You are
yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
So the only way, the only way to stop the chatter is to meditate. And
yeah.
some people have a problem because they feel like, well, if I can't keep my mind still for 20 minutes, what's the point? But
mm-hmm.
the point is to show up and just be. So
yeah.
shut your mouth, shut your TV, shut your computer, turn your phone off, and just be for 5 minutes with your
yeah.
eyes closed.
Yeah.
And then the next day, 6 minutes. And then the next day, 7 minutes.
Yeah. yeah.
And after a while, 10 minutes is no big deal. And then one day, you'll be sitting, and you'll open your eyes, and you'll look over at the clock, and 40 minutes will have gone by. And you'll be like, oh, I sat here for 40 minutes and did absolutely nothing? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And the goodness is that you have given yourself that sanctity and that time to commune with the divine. And that's exactly what you're doing. If the only time you ever talk or ever are in communication with your God force is on church, at church on Sunday, when there's all that other activity going on around you that has nothing to do with God, then you're not really getting in touch. You're not really plugging in. You need to plug in on a daily basis. It's like this one particular toy I have. You can plug it in for 24 hours, and it lasts a whole week. But if you plug it in every single day, it is super powerful every single day. Why so go you on had, residual energy, you know?
I love it. You had talked about miracles and the serendipity. So can you give me a few examples of that?
Well, I think I gave you one already,
right,
with
right,
my
about
book
the,
being published. I mean, come on,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
who,
that's a
who
wonderful
has a,
one.
Yeah, who has a publishing company come out of retirement?
I know.
Yeah, okay. So that,
and
that
the fact that
is,
you happened to be standing next to her and handed her the book.
Well, you know, the thing is, I went to the convention to find a distributor for my book, and I saw that they had many books there, and I assumed that they sold books, that they were looking for other people to buy books. So I thought, okay, they're a distributor. So I went over to her, and I said, I bet you don't have my book. And she goes, well, I don't know. We have an awful lot of books here. And I said, oh, no, I'm pretty sure you don't have mine.
Now, what
so
is,
she says, well, what is it? And I gave it to her, and she read it. She read it on a Monday night, Tuesday, and that Friday they called me up and said, you know, we really liked your book, and we'd like to publish it. It's self-published, isn't it? And I was like, yes. So they just basically, they changed the name, and it went from what, Don't Do It in the Dark, An Enlightened Guide to Sensual Sexuality, to Loving Sex, Every Woman's Guide to Sensual Sexuality.
And if someone wanted that book, is it still in print, and where would
they
get
it? Oh, my goodness, yes. It's on Amazon.com. You can just go to books, and it's there. And, people that have read it have told me that it's, quote, a good book. So that's, to me, that's right in the same level. When they say, what's a good book? The Bible is the good book. So when somebody says this is a good book, in a sense, that's how I approached it. It is not just sexuality. It is the spiritual connection, our birthright, if you will, that God put us on this planet to create our lives and to express our lives and make them as beautiful as we possibly can. And we are not a mistake by design. The fact that we have erogenous zones from the top of our head to the soles of our feet has to be God's intention for us to enjoy it. So if you're not, you're kind of like missing the boat. And that was kind of what the book was predicated on. Mm-hmm. And then along with the natural and helpful ways that we have engineered our ways to enjoy beautiful, natural intimacy. And so that's what I've got in that book. And that's why I'm very, very proud of it. And when I was when I first wrote it, and I called it Don't Do It in the Dark, it's kind of a double entendre, but I did it, men read it. Men read it when it was called that, because it wasn't Every Woman's Guide. It was Don't Do It in the Dark. Right.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, one of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten was when several men said to me that they read it twice.
Oh, wow, I guess.
Yeah. Because when you read something the first time, you think, well, I know everything in here. She can't teach me anything. And then you kind of read through it, and it kind of registers a little bit of registering as you're going through it. And then you go back and you go, wait a minute, did I really know that?
Yeah.
And then you go back and read it again, and you go, oh, now I know. I can do this, you know? So that, to me, is one of the greatest compliments.
How did you move into becoming a sensuality consultant?
Again, it was very serendipitous. When my first child was 7 months old, he had an emergency surgery, and it put him in the hospital for 4 days. And we did not have any insurance, and my husband did not have a job. So after we were totally tapped for everything that we had from our, you know, wedding money, I needed to find a work. So I had been to a pleasure party about 1 month before this emergency surgery happened. And I remember watching the young lady do the presentation, and I thought, if this chick can do this, this is my life's calling over here, because I can do this with my eyes closed. In fact, I was giving her suggestions on different things she could say about the product. It was kind of funny. Okay. So I talked to her afterwards, and I never forget her saying to me, your phone will ring off the hook. And I thought, yeah, probably will. So then the emergency happened, and I looked for work, and no one would hire me. Of course not, because I'm overqualified to work at Pathmark on the night shift. My goal was to be a full-time mother to my child during the day, because I didn't have a child to give them off to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So there I was, and I thought, you know, I went to that party. I had a lot of fun. I bought products. Everybody bought products. I can do that. I'll do it for a year. I'll get us out of debt. And then I'll go back to being full-time mother. I won't do that anymore. I'll find something else. Mm-hmm. And in my first year, the home office gave me 3 bookings. And from those 3 bookings, I did 85 shows my first year, all on referrals. Every time I went out and did a party, I got 5 bookings, 4 bookings, mm-hmm. 6 bookings. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. Unheard of. Nobody does that. Okay, I did it the first year, and I did it because everybody thought that I was in this for years, and I encouraged them, and I was just so passionate about what I was saying. I was giving them all kinds of ideas, and people would walk out of there going, wow, I never thought it would be like that. And I've still been doing it all these years, but now I, of course, add a lot more knowledge to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I remember 3 years into it, the owner of the company, who was not as enthusiastic as I, said that she was getting out of the business, and she wanted to know if anybody wanted to buy it. So mm-hmm. I said, I'll buy it from you, and I did. And I bought her company for the cost of her wholesale products and mm-hmm. paid her off in a year. Every time I sold her products, I'd pay her the wholesale cost of them and then just keep adding to my stock. And I built up a business. And here it is 32 years later. Well, 29 years as the owner of my own company, and I worked for her for 3. So, uh-huh. do something like that, whatever. I started in 1981 as a consultant with her, and then in 1983 I owned the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway.
It sounds to me that when you have an opportunity and it's something that you enjoy, you jump on that opportunity.
I felt like God handed me a football and said, there's the goal line, go for it.
When
that opportunity was dropped in my lap, some people would have said, no, oh, and found a mm-hmm. million reasons not to do it, mm-hmm. okay? But it has afforded me the opportunity to help thousands and thousands of women understand their intimate relationship differently. I've talked to them about things that nobody else would ever talk to them about, and helped. And one woman said to me yesterday, this is the greatest joy of my job. She said to me after the rehearsal, she said, Ellen, you have changed my life in the way that I look at my relations with my husband. And she goes, and I cannot thank you enough for meeting you and for you helping me. And you know what? That to me is the greatest joy. I mean, money's nice, but when you get appreciation,
exactly.
I don't think there's anything better. You know, so, you know, you're doing God's work.
We have just a few minutes left, Ellen. This time has just absolutely flown by.
Yes.
I want you to tell us about this play that you're going to be in, and your show on Blog Radio on
yes.
Authentic You.
Well, I am honored and excited to be part of the Vagina Monologues. It is a play that Eve Ensler did many years ago. It supports a particular charity is benefiting from this play. It's 180 Turning Lives Around, located here in Haslett, New Jersey, and they help abused women and their children get a fresh start. So all the money that we're gaining for this is all going to them. I'm very excited to be part of that. And the name of the play is The Vagina Monologues, and that is a fantastic play. It is poignant. It is important. It is timely. It is necessary. And it has a little bit of humor to it, but mm-hmm. it's always kind of a double-sided humor, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm part of. And this evening, actually, in a few hours, I'm going to be doing my radio program. It's called Your Pleasure. And tonight I am going to speak with an astrologist who's going to talk to us about astrological hookups. And he's a very wonderful person who has done many readings for all kinds of people, and lots of people have nothing but nice things to say about him. So I am hoping that everybody tunes in, and if they have a question, I'm sure Dr. Mel will be more than happy to answer it if they, you know, send it in fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's a very interesting man. And my show is at 8 o'clock on Authentic You Radio. It's called Your Pleasure. And always, hopefully, it is your pleasure.
It's on Wednesdays, is it? Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday night, yes.
Right.
Wednesday night,
okay.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And I'm guessing 7 p.m. your time.
Right.
Right, yeah.
My goodness, all these time zones. It's amazing we think we can keep track.
Right, it's kind of funny that we've even set up time because there's no such thing.
I know.
Well, now we're fiddling with it too.
Yep. Physical time gives us a meeting point, I guess.
Right.
So in these last few minutes, tell me any tips that you can give to someone who is, you know, connecting to their angels, wants to connect to their angels.
Okay. I know, just know, that everybody has at least two
mm-hmm.
Guardian angels. All right? They probably think they just have one, but most of us have two. And if you are running around like a chicken without a head, then the only way that you can really connect is to give yourself a little bit of time every day to sit and be still. And that seems to be a very, very difficult thing for people to do because
mm-hmm.
they always feel like they should be doing something. But if you think about what we are human beings. We're not human doings. And doing is actually the lowest form of the human. There's human being, there's human thinking, and then there's human doing. And if you really want to be connected with your essence and your life force and your guides and the miracles that are in your life, you have to take a little time every single day and just be. And if you have thoughts during that time, okay, no problem. Just be patient with yourself and come back to your breath, because your breath is the connection to life. If you're not breathing, then you're not alive, right?
Yes.
They can be pumping air in and out of you, but if you're not taking in that essence, you're not alive. So
that is
your essence to making the world go round. You know, your exhalation goes into the world, and then it comes back out. So,
yes. Well, Ellen, thank you so much. This has been absolutely a delightful show. I am so pleased that you've joined me. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but for all of our listeners, you can listen to her at 8 today, tonight rather, and hopefully you'll come back again.
Thank you. Invite me back, and I'll be back.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you, my dear. Thank
all
you,
right.
my
Have
dear.
Have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. Now, in the next month, in April, I'm doing reconnection of mind, body, and spirit. So next week, Dr. Angela Hall is going to join me, and we're going to talk about how to get your physical body back on track or on track or to the next frequency. Just like Ellen was saying, our breath is what connects us to spirit. It's what connects us to the higher power. Well, if you are exhausted or you are out of sync with your body, it's really hard to sit down and be quiet and draw that good, deep life force breath. So join me next week when we talk to Dr. Hall, and we will have just a great time. In the meantime, have a great week.